You're listening to the Enclave Community Church podcast. For more information about Enclave, follow the links in the description.
Good morning. This morning we're looking at the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the true summer of love, right here. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, and starting in verse 4, love is patient and kind. Does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Father, thank you so much that love is eternal. You are eternal, and you are love. Oh, Lord, thank you that we have the exciting truth that you will work your love, this love, into us. For this reason, you came. And now we ask you to fill Brad with not only your power and strength, but also your comfort and ease as he shares with us what you've shared with him about your love. Thank you, Lord, to the praise of your glory for the sake of your name. Amen.
It's a joy to be able to have this position to talk to the family. And I didn't know when they asked me this was going to be Palm Sunday. So we put this slide up there, and it's just a reminder that this was the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, proclaimed he was the king, wanted everyone to know. It's 2,000 years ago, and history was bent forever. And without that experience for Jesus coming in and beginning this holy week, we wouldn't be here. It's the reason that we're here. And this week is full of all these things that happened that changed our life. He had a Passover meal with his disciples, and for the very first time, and we'll do communion later on, broke bread and told them to do it in a different way, and told them to eat this bread. It represented his broken body. I can't imagine what they were thinking when they did that. And to drink this wine, that it was his blood. It was a dramatic thing for these disciples to hear. And then he would be killed. And then he would rise again. And next Sunday, Lord willing, I believe our pastor is going to be with us to deliver the Easter service message, which we're so excited to have. I asked the guys to come up here and lead us in a song, because they were shouting, Hosanna. All of his followers were shouting this word, which was a cry, save me, save me. And he does today. So this song is Hosanna. I sang this on the beach for about, I went through a grieving process in my life. We won't share about that, but I ended up singing this song. It's by Hillsong, and it was part of my healing through grief. There's one particular lyric that we want to point out, but they're going to teach it to us. Thank you. Father, we celebrate your Palm Sunday today, and we do. We cry Hosanna, but we also say Hallelujah. Hallelujah for coming into our lives and changing us. Teach us how to love like you loved us, Father. I pray now that you'll speak to us individually, that your Holy Spirit would move, and that when we walk away today, that you've touched each one of us personally, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So I looked at Palm Sunday and thought about what's going to happen, that we're going to see at the end of the week, the most dramatic picture of love that's ever happened. It was so long ago, but it'll never happen again like that. It's the agape love, the divine love, that we so want to be like that. But I thought, what an appropriate topic to talk about, love, on today. So we'll look at a few different parts of it. The first is love really important? The second is our greatest example of love. And third, we're going to have 16 characteristics of love. And Carlton, thank you for reading. You talked about this love chapter. You know, it's sometimes it's kind of a cute chapter. It really feels good and warm. It's a hard chapter. So I think when we're done today, we'll find out we're going to be really challenged. But I want to give you hope. We can love well. Is love important? So several scriptures. So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. John 13:34. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest. You know that song by Burt Bacharach? I think Dionne Warren sang it. It was What the World Needs Now is Love. You know that song? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. So we've been singing about love, and there's other love songs. James Taylor has a great one that I used to sing all the time. He says, just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are going to work out fine if you only will. And then I grew up in the summer of love, 1967. We had 100,000 people show up in San Francisco over here. At that time, we wore flowers in our hair. Didn't matter who we were. We were opposing the Vietnam War. We let our hair grow long. We liked free love. We had love-ins. I had a love-in that happened in Arcadia Park, where I grew up in Southern California. And what you saw there was really not love. Probably borderline what the one love would be, an Eros love, but not the love that Jesus talks about. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I have possessed to the poor and give over my body and heart to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. I used to be in the orchestra. I was in the percussion section. My brother was first chair clarinet, really good. And he was an engineering major. I liked to go surfing and play baseball in the street. So when my dad wanted me to play clarinet, I did it for a week. Then I tried the saxophone, didn't like that, way too hard. But the percussion section, they gave me a mallet, they beat on a drum, I was home. It just was an amazing thing. But in the percussion section, one of the instruments is the gong. And we had a big orchestra, so we had this giant gong, and they're just an ugly sounding thing. You know, the only good gong I really heard is in the Moody Blues album. It was really a cool sound. They're very difficult to play, though, but I could really master the gong, but they don't sound very good. Our greatest example of love happened this week that we're looking at with Palm Sunday, and it happened when Jesus gave his life. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. John 15:13. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We can give our life for a friend. My brother gave his life. He went to Vietnam and he was infected with Agent Orange, and it eventually took his life. So my brother gave his life for me, for you. The difference with Jesus, though, his death took away my sin and opened the door for me to have eternal life. My brother couldn't do that. But my brother experienced the greatest love that we could do. And that's not going to be called for us to do. We don't know that, but most likely it won't. But our death can't wash away sin. Jesus gave his as the ultimate sacrifice for us. So lots of words for love we go through, and I'm going to just look at three of them just to kind of set the stage what we're talking about. You know, the eros love, we go back to Greek, and it's kind of the romantic love. It can be the sexual love, the love of the Lovins in the 60s, the summer of love in San Francisco, where he took their clothes off and we thought we were doing what we're supposed to do. It's a very strange thing we went through. That's eros love. Eros love usually is a taking love. But then there's phileo love. Phileo is like what I experienced when I played golf with Carlton. Actually, it's true. When I have coffee with Stuart, we have a new guest here, a friend of mine that's in the congregation, but when we have coffee together at Lamo, phileo love, it's a give and take kind of a love. But the agape love, that's the unconditional. It can be divine, and we hardly ever get there, but we can get there. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, empathy in the United States for the last 40 years now, and I'm feeling it. I'm 74 now, but I've never experienced a lack of empathy in our country right now. But for four decades, we've had a tremendous decline in empathy, which empathy can be where agape love comes from. We just don't do it very well. So we know love's important. We know what the greatest act of love looks like. But let's talk about us. How do we know what love looks like? Well, God gave us a list of 16 characteristics in the book of Corinthians. All 16 require agape love, so pretty tough for us to approach it right now. But it's impossible to succeed in agape love without God's help. That's the difference that we have as having a relationship with God, having the power of the Holy Spirit. We can go to him and ask for help, and he gives it to us. And we're going to fail, and we're going to sin, but we can come to him continuously and say, please help me with this, and we'll experience victory. You know, we always like to have lists of how to do things, and the Bible gave us a list of 16 ways we can love. Anybody Boy Scouts here at all? No Boy Scouts? Okay. Boy Scouts is not cool anymore. Okay. Hey, good to see you, by the way. Okay, I'm a Boy Scout. So the Scout Law, a Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. It's amazing. I still know that after all these years. I mean, do you know you got it down? Yeah, I know. I got it down. So the Scout Law is really a powerful thing. In fact, I just got this gift for my birthday. I just had my 74th birthday. This is one of the coolest gifts I've ever got. I was with a couple. I don't know them very well. We had three people out for dinner, and they told Lori, don't tell anybody it's my birthday. But they did. They found out. And they presented this to me. This is a Boy Scout songbook. This is a little bit of a feel of what agape love looks like. She went and spent time to find this and knew I was a Boy Scout and thought maybe it might be interesting to me and gave this to me for my birthday. She received nothing except for the pure joy that I had when I read it. And when I look in here, I see the Scout Law. The difference with the Scout Law, though, and love and the characteristics, there's no power. And I hate to say this, but is there a picture of this little flag? Okay. So here I am. I'm going through scouting and I go to Catalina where we have our summer camp. And, you know, you aspire to stay on staff when you get older. So I got old enough and I go on staff. And I loved it because I could go away. And by the way, it was really bad. I started smoking in Boy Scouts. So I could I went to Catalina Island so I could have a cigarette on my own and be a Boy Scout. But I was an Eagle Scout. And I was proud of it. But I was in charge of some merit badges there. And we used to have a tradition as Boy Scouts there, and all of us on staff were pretty much Eagles, which a lot of you don't even know what Boy Scouts is. It's like the highest rank. It's a pretty cool thing to get. You get a letter from the President of the United States. It's from President Johnson for me. It's a cool deal. But here I am, an Eagle Scout, And we had a tradition at Camp Cherry Valley where at 2 a.m, you'd get up and you'd sneak down to the canoes or the rowboats, you'd grab it, and you'd stealthily get into the water. Camp Cherry Valley is in a place called Cherry Cove on Catalina Island, which is off 27 miles across the sea. Hey, is that it? Okay. No, 70 or 27, from Long Beach. So here's this camp, lots of luxury yachts in our Cherry Cove, which is called, behind, next to us was 4th of July Cove and then the Isthmus. So in the middle of summer, you know, we had our camp there, but we'd see all these cute girls on the boats and these luxury boats, but we'd go out at 2 a.m. and we go steal those flags. And it doesn't happen anymore. When I was staff there my last year, this tradition ended because we were busted by the Los Angeles Sheriff Department. But I have to tell you, my cabin, which was 8x8, was screened from 4 feet up, and 4 feet down was just this paneling. I had wallpapered my entire cabin with flags. We were having lunch in our little, like if you picture this, this was our parade ground and the ocean's down there, and we were having lunch in our little, well, real long, there's these 300 scouts in this thing. And I'm looking out here, and we hear this chopper, and it lands in the camp, and the dust is flying. They keep the chopper going. A guy gets out of the chopper. He walks over to a camp director's house, comes back, and the chopper goes away. And an emergency meeting is called. And all of our staff got together. They said, every flag you boys have will be in this bin by 6 o'clock this evening. Well, at 6 o'clock that evening, there was 3 bins. You know those giant barrels like this, you know? They had to get more and more. And that was the year that that tradition ended. But the point is, the first Scout law, the Scout is trustworthy. And I'm breaking that because I don't have that power inside of me. I just have this idea that it's a good idea to be trustworthy. I wasn't trustworthy, not proud. In fact, I was gonna ask Lori, I don't know if I still have this, Lori, but that one in the middle, it looks like a firecracker. I got rid of all my flags. I took that one and I buried it and I brought it home. I think I still might have it. So I have to deal with the Lord on that one. I think I need to get that taken care of. That's from 4th of July. Isn't that a cool flag? 4th of July Yacht Club. It's this firecracker. It was just awesome. So a scout is reverent. I was reverent. I feared God. I went to Arcadia Presbyterian Church. I knew the books of the Bible, but I didn't have new life. I did not know Jesus, and it didn't keep me from doing things that I shouldn't have done. In your bulletins, you'll find a little program there, and this is, I want you to pay attention to this. In the middle, you're gonna see 16 characteristics of love. If you have that, I'd like you to keep it handy. Maybe if you, does anybody not have one? Because I have some extras here. Do you need one? You sort of need it. Yeah, good. Great. Anybody else? Good. Yeah, great. Yeah, because it's gonna be a test. You gotta do this here. Pass it down there. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, good. We'll pass it down there. Perfect. Anybody here? It's a test. There's a prize, by the way. The prize? Did I get you that time with the prize? Okay. I was kidding about the prize thing, but. Well, why don't you do, though? We're going to go ahead and we're going to go into the 16, and I don't want you to get nervous. We're going to fly so fast by these 16 characteristics. We're going to take like a 30,000 mile or elevation view of this. But as we go through, I want you to put stars on these. So we're going to start with love is patient, but what I want you to do is say, okay, Brad is patient the way God wants him to be patient. And like, if I feel pretty good about that, okay, maybe I won't put a star. If I get the other one that says, love is not envious, I might put about 5 stars in that thing. So it's different for all of us, but I guarantee you, you're going to be able to put a lot of stars in there. But the idea is when we're done, I want you to be able to pick one characteristic of God that you can go to God and say, help me with this one. Help me with this one. Not all of them, because it's overwhelming, but just one. 16 characteristics of God. Number one, patient. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, You'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing, James 1:3-4. I just met you for the first time this morning. He's working on a Rubik's Cube. I've never seen a Rubik's Cube in this church, and here's another one, and it's part of my message today. Patience can be sort of simple. I'm not a patient guy. When I built model airplanes, I never painted them. I glued them all at once. I just was impatient, and they were always horrible. So my second youngest grandson, he is taken into this cubics. Laurie, is he 12? He's 11. He's nationally ranked with this thing. It's bizarre how his brain works. He does it blindfolded. He can solve this in, I think, 1 minute and 10 seconds. And he called me Jeepa. Jeepa, will you do the Rubik's Cube? How do you say no to your grandson? And I said, yes. It's been 3 months. And just yesterday, I solved this thing. My average time now is 4 minutes and 50 seconds I can solve. I'm not going to do it in front of you because it won't happen, but I can do it. The key is I chose to be patient and to learn this thing. I learned slower. Lori, my wife, learns very fast. My brother learned fast. I learned slow. I got to do it over and over and over. Eventually, I get it. Well, I got it. I'm real proud of myself. But when I told my grandson, I sobbed. You should have seen his face. The gift I got. So patience, that's a funny way to think about patience. Number two, kindness. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:32. There's a clerk in a hardware store, won't tell you where. You know, have you ever heard the term irregular people? Okay, so you probably all have one. It's that person that you sort of don't get them. You don't want to be around them. You'll avoid their line. If they're a clerk at a grocery store, you're not going to go through their line. And they probably wouldn't go through yours either. It's usually a mutual experience when you have an irregular person. They become irregular to you. Well, I have one at a local store in town, and it's been that way for 3 years. It's hard to share it, but I was there the other day. This is like 3 months ago. And there they are. And here's the check stand here. And I'm intentionally going like this because I don't want to go there. And she says, hey, I'll help you here. So I said, okay. So I got to go over there. And it was just this abrasive feel. And I left. And I go to my car and God says out loud, because I had a cup of coffee when I went in, and I sat on the counter, and she says, where's that coffee? And I said, it's right here. I said, you want me? She says, oh, no. I got in my car, and God says, go get her a really good cup of coffee and bring it back. I go get a cup of coffee. I bring it back. When she sees me walk in, she's got like 7 people in customer service, but she sees me, and I walk up. I don't interrupt her. I let the coffee. Here's your coffee. She looked at me, and then she went back to her customer service. Well, I said goodbye, made it really quick. 2 weeks later, I'm in there, and I'm shopping again because I'm in there all the time. And I see her. She stops what she's doing, calls me over, and said, I want to thank you for that cup of coffee. I was having a really hard day. She's had a really hard life. And I was the one that God said, be kind to her. Also, I'm going to share something else, and this isn't self-serving, but I believe God did this for me as part of this message. Uh-huh. And Chet, if you're watching, I think my son's watching. This is for you, baby. He's my 50-year-old son, almost 50, 49. He's struggling with melanoma. He has cancer. It's been a hard battle, and we spend a lot of time with him. I got a note from him this week. We're going to play golf in the charity tournament down where he lives in Southern California. We play this golf tournament every year, so I go down and I be his partner. He loves golf. He said, I'm looking forward to a great day of play, too. Thanks for the Pebble Beach ball mark I sent it to him. The last line, I love that you are so kind. This is the most powerful note I received from a child. I mean, I'll keep this forever. My son doesn't communicate this way. He's 49, and he did. So thank you, Chet. He is going to watch. He watches Andrew all the time. God is kind. Love is kind. Love is not envious. I envied the proud when I saw them prosper. Psalm 73:3. I envied my best friend for 30 years. Five doors down in San Luis Rey, where I grew up, and we were friends all the way until high school. He became a cheerleader. I started getting D notices. He was with the in crowd and wore, he was a cheerleader. He had the beautiful uniform at the football games. I mean, they had this amazing uniform, all the cute girls, and I hung out with four guys, and we went to Bob's and had coffee, and we separated, and I was envious. I was envious he had better grades. I thought he was really a much better looking guy, and it was really a thorn. I ended up actually telling him that years later. We're still best friends. We live five doors down, but I was envious of him. And he's also still my best friend. Love is not boastful. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips, Proverbs 27:2. There's a game we play. It's kind of an icebreaker game. I call it, Can You Top This? I'm actually looking for a volunteer, and I do have a prize. And I think I'm going to see if nobody responds, would you respond? I'm looking. Yeah, okay. So how you play this game? It's a great icebreaker, but it's an awesome game for boasting. It's an awesome game to set yourself above everyone else in the room. So what you do is you pick a category. So I'm going to pick a category like world nations. And what you do is you find someone that'll do it with you, and you might volunteer. You may be my volunteer. Come on up here, because you're going to help me. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, yeah. Okay, I actually do have a prize.
I'm here three times a year.
I know. So here's the category is going to be, places in the world that you've been to.
Yes.
Okay, I've been to Mexico.
I've been to Los Angeles.
Okay.
Oh, you want to go better?
No. Okay, so he's playing the game correctly. You hold the best to last. He's doing it really well. You hold that thing you have until the person you're playing against has gone to the top. So I've been to New York.
I've been to Canada.
Okay. Do go a little higher next time. Okay. go really radical.
Okay.
I've been to Florida.
I've been to Nepal.
All right. Then that. So winners, you get this P23 bookmark. Enjoy it. It actually says on there, be humble and honor others more than yourselves. That's how you play it again. Well, I was going to play with Jay and little Jay here, but big Jay is playing the bass. But I was going to say for Jay, I would say, hey, I started a chimney fire, which I really did. Where is Jay? Are you right, Jay? So I started a chimney fire in my house. I really did it on the day after Christmas. We put some stuff in there. So I'd say, hey, Jay, I started a chimney fire. And then Jay would probably say, I put out a chimney fire and saved a house. That's how you play the game. Anyway, love is not boastful. Love is not arrogant. It ties in with that. The arrogant will be humble. Love is not rude. Do not let any unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. I had an episode, it's been 20 years ago. I used to play a lot of golf, and I used to play in the afternoon at a golf course called San Clemente. And it's a beautiful little municipal golf course, and my dad took me out there when I was 11 years old. First golf course I ever played. And then I became addicted to golf, got in the golf team, and just loved the game. And played with one of my best friends down there. So we played San Clemente Golf Course like it's our own club. You know, I know every hole, I know every square inch. We're on the second to last hole one day, it's number 8. There's an elevated tee, and that means the tee's way up there, and you gotta hit like 300 yards, and the ball goes way down the fairway. We're down in the fairway ready for our second shots. A ball comes flying over my head, maybe 10 feet. I'm 200 yards down the fairway. That came from the tee. So I'm looking like waving like this. What's going on? I'm right here. Don't hit the ball anymore. So I start to hit my ball. Another one comes, it comes closer. I'm like hot. It really irritated me. I'm playing golf with my closest spiritual friend. Our couples have grown in the same church together, went to retreats together. I'm playing with him. And so he goes on, he's walking down the fairway, and these guys come down the cart, their golf cart. We're walking, but they've got the golf cart. And they stop, and I'm just like hot. And I go, did you see us? No, did you see us waving? He almost hit us twice. He said, where did you guys come from? We've been playing golf all day. Did you jump the fence and get in front of us? Now I'm like freaking out, mad. So I said, no. You know, I've been playing here since I'm 11 years old, and we play, and we've been in front of you, and you're just trying to go through us, and it's just not great. He said, hey, buddy, you know, you should pay more attention, and I think you just snuck on. Well, our voices begin to elevate, you know, when you try and out-talk somebody and get louder. We got louder and louder, and finally they crescendoed into my comment, you just need to learn some golf etiquette. And I turned around and I walked. I caught up to my friend. What was that? I caught up to my friend. At that time, my wife and I were directors of couples ministry at a place called Forest Home. We have about 80,000 people come through a year there. It's a Christian camp like Hume Lake or Mount Hermon. And I was getting ready for a couples conference to host real soon. So I'm walking down the fairway, still just hot, and my buddy walks up to me, and he puts his arm around me, we're walking, and he says, wow, what happened back there? And I go, yeah. He says, that's pretty cool. I wonder if he's going to be at your couples conference, and maybe when you give the invitation to receive Jesus, maybe he'll say, hey, that's that really cool guy that at the golf course. And my friend just, I was like dying in guilt. So we have a little golf game. We finish our last hole. We got in the cars. We meet at Starbucks to buy the winner a cup of coffee. So we get to Starbucks. I'm almost there. We have separate cars. God says, turn around. I turn around. I go back to the golf course, which is only 1 mile away. I get out of the car. These guys are now coming off the last hole in the parking lot. And I stop. I get out of the car, and they recognize me. They both get out of the golf cart, and they want to take me down. And I go, no, I'm not here. I just wanted to come back to say, I'm sorry I raised my voice, and I apologize. And the guy goes, oh, that's okay, buddy. You just need to play a little more golf. And then the whole thing started going up again, you know? It was like crazy. So anyway, I left. God said, don't say one more thing and leave. And as I left, the beer cans rolled out of the golf cart. They were intoxicated. They were having a good time, but they were intoxicated. So don't be rude. I was rude. Character of love, not selfish. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. I just gave that prize away. I actually made that bookmarker for the folks at Forest Home. We were having some problem treating our guests well, and they noticed it. And so we had a campaign called P23, Philippians 2:3. In whatever you do, do not let selfishness be your guide. Be humble and honor others more than yourselves. Do not be selfish. Not irritable. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Ephesians 4:26-27. So when you guys go south or north on I-5, especially 5, and it's Sunday, and there's semi-trucks, and you know, you're in that lane you're in the fast lane, because these guys are going 40 or 50, these guys are going 70. But you know, when it all stops, and you're bumper to bumper, and that guy comes around, comes from behind you, and then squeezes in, you know, between that car, that bugs me. I know you all have things that bug you. That irritates me. But I've learned to just put my foot off the accelerator and to let them go by. What I've learned is when people drive that way, I don't know why they're driving that way. Maybe their wife's in the hospital right now. Maybe they just got fired. Maybe they had a severe accident in their family. We don't know what happened. or they're just plain rude. But it could be all those things, and God says, Brad, don't be irritable. But he also says, be angry, but do not sin. How do you do that? That happened at San Clemente when there's a guy up the street. He probably was texting. I was in front of our house in San Clemente with my daughter, saying goodbye. She's my adult daughter. He veered off. We live on a curved road, and this guy came around, veered off the road, and right in front of us, sideswiped our car so hard it took his right wheel off the car, not just the tires. His entire wheel broke, and he drove away on three wheels. He drugged the frame so we could follow where he went. Furious. But that's a time where I'm not trying to get my way. That's a time where I want to protect my daughter. It's the same thing when we want to alert somebody from danger, like your child. It's okay to raise your voice to make that sure that child isn't going to burn her hand. Another thing that bugs me, too, that I have to work with is Harley Davidson noise. My friend down in San Clemente has a Harley Davidson. He builds Harley Davidsons. I'm a law school dropout. I wanted to actually go and have a case where I felt that the noise they make is affecting my life, and I could probably take them down and not let them have that noise anymore. Really an old man kind of a thing. But not be irritable. Another, keeps no records of wrongs. Can you think of someone right now that's really got something on you, and you have been, you know, you won't let it go? Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Matthew 18:21. Think about that person that you haven't forgiven. You're the one that has the cancer that's metastasizing, not them. You got to stop the cancer in you, and that comes from forgiveness. Love does not celebrate wrongs. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. Is there anyone you are hoping and praying that they fail right now big time? You can't wait until they fail. Pray for them instead. Love rejoices with the truth. As you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. I used to be in the golf business, and I got Buick Motor Vision was our sponsor nationally. So I had to call on Buick dealers. Hated it. I've never liked going into a car dealership, but I had to go talk to these guys. I was sitting with this guy in Palm Springs Buick and having my meeting. I'm getting ready to ask him for a lot of money, and a sales lady walks in. And he said, excuse me. So she walks in, stops the meeting, and she says, what do I do? I'm trying to close this deal, but this wasn't disclosed. I want to close the deal. What do I do? And this is the general manager. And he looked at her and said, leap at the truth. I was 32 years old when I heard that. I still am imprinted by that. I don't know if he has faith, but he said, leap at the truth. And she said, she was bummed. I think she's going to lose the deal. And she walked away, and I said, tell me what you meant. He said, you have to come from truth. You have to be honest in this business. I hadn't heard that before. Lori, my wife, and I have a thing we call full disclosure. We've been married 10 years now, so we're sort of newlyweds. And when I first met her, and we were dating, and we were going to get married, I decided we would have a policy where we had no secrets. We shared all of our baggage and our fears, which we do. We still do today. We'll be doing things around, and all of a sudden, you know, I'll say something, or Laura say something, say, hey, we need some full disclosure. And it's something I've done to disappoint her. And we're able to talk about it and clean it up because we leap at the truth. This book I made for Lori, I brought it. I made this the year we got married. It's interesting. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And in it, what I did is I took pictures the last 10 days of when we were going to get married. So this is at the beach. I lived at the beach. So this is like, you know, some rocks and the sand. It says, love is patient. I promise that I will be a patient husband and that I will listen more than I speak. And it goes on, I'll just one more. Love is kind. I promise that I will be a kind of husband, a kind husband, and that my acts of kindness will begin with you. So I gave this to Lori as a way to say, I want you to trust me. We don't know each other very well, but I'm making these promises. I don't think I've broken any yet. I might have broken one. I don't know, but that's not the point. The point is to try. And so I did that. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Love never fails. In conclusion, there's a local love story that some of us know and some of us don't know. And I invited Stuart and Beth Webster to come. They're right there, good friends of mine. They were missionaries in Sweden and, don't tell me, France, of course. For most of their life now, they're back here where they came from, and they're just dear, dear friends. Well, Stuart hangs out, and he used to be a barista at L'Mo. If you don't know L'Mo, you must go to L'Mo. It's called L'Mo. It's two words. They have the best cappuccino coffee in the world, but the Spirit of God dwells there because Gloria Smallwood, who owns it, is an on-fire Christian. It's the only restaurant I've seen where on Mondays they have open prayer. You can go down there for a prayer. But there's a spirit there. Stuart was the barista there. Now he's retired. But I have a picture. I don't know if it's up here yet. Let's move through those images. We're going to see a guy by the name of Dwayne Rockman. And pronounce his last name. Gibbick. Okay. I'm going to go with Dwayne Rockman. Born in 1939. Passed away in 2018, just 5 years ago. So I took this picture. I didn't know who Rockman was. He's out in front of our church. He'd gotten food from our church that day. I was talking to Stuart, and he says, I know that man. Well, if we turn the pictures, we're going to see another picture here. This is Gloria Smallwood on the left. Gloria's the owner of L'Mo. She befriended Dwayne as well as Stuart. And this is Christmas. Gloria has lost her husband years ago. She's still single. She's amazing. Let's look at the next one. Here's Stuart. They wrote a song together. I never knew that. Here they're playing it. Stuart's an accomplished guitar player and has more CDs of music than anyone I've met in my life. He also plays ukulele. He's amazing. The point is, this is a local example of love. Dwayne made me afraid. I was not drawn to Dwayne. I did approach him, and he didn't want anything to do with me. But he was on disability. And if we get the last picture, there's another one here. Do we see the picture of him when he's in the service? That's before. He's a normal guy. Now, I kind of want to go talk to him, right? But I don't want to talk to him after he became what he became. Shame on me. But Stuart reached out his love, and Gloria, and changed his life. And in one picture, you'll notice where Gloria is holding his hand. Maybe the only touch of a hand he had in his life. We didn't know what happened to him in the service, but something happened to him and broke him. But he found love in an agape sense from Gloria and from Stuart. You have your communion elements with you. So I want to lead us in communion. And I'm going to ask the worship guys to come up and close us in a song again. So I'm going to have you do this on your own, but I'll remind you what happened. This happened in Holy Week. So in about 4 or 5 days, this is going to happen, what we're doing now, for the very first time. And here we are, 2,000 years or more, and we're doing it. But Jesus said, do this, He said, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, drink of it, all of it, for this is my blood and the covenant which I has poured out for many and the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26:26. So I want you to take some quiet time just for a moment. Go to your Savior. If you don't know him, this is a great time to know him, and it's just this simple. Lord Jesus, I don't know you. This is all so foreign to me. I want to believe you. Come into my heart. I give my life to you. If you did that, find one of the elders or myself after the service. For the rest of us, take some time and maybe think about those characters of love that maybe you have a lot of stars on that, like, or you circle and say, this is a problem, love, for me. And ask God to help you with it, but then enjoy your Last Supper. First, and you can end with the song. Okay. Father, thank you for this wafer that represents your body that was broken for us. We thank you. We can celebrate this week and celebrate your death, but your rebirth. Father, we thank you for this juice that represents the blood that was shed for us, that gave us a gateway to an everlasting life and opened also a gateway to you to help us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name. So in conclusion, how can we love? I mean, this is like that list of 16 things is tough. But how can we do it? The good news is we can. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of love, this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22. That's the fruit of knowing Jesus and having the Holy Spirit in your life. So I'm going to give you a challenge. Choose a love that you can't get it right. I don't know what love that is, but choose one you can't get right. Ask God to help you get it right. And then when that happens, if you're on the freeway and you have a problem with people that cut you off, choose to take your foot off the accelerator. That's what I do. And it's hard, but I do it. I've learned how to do that. If it's somebody you just don't like, pray for them. But choose love. Father, thank you for this time. We're going to have the guys close us with Hosanna again, and thank you that you were here today. Such a blessing to have Stuart and Beth here in our presence and the life they've lived and given to you. Thank you for Gloria at LMO. I pray you all go to LMO and become a new customer there and tell Gloria that you heard about her. We thank you that Andrew's in the back. We thank you that he came. We love him, and it just feels so good, our families together. And we look forward to seeing him next week. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
At Enclave, our mission is to cultivate and empower disciples, fostering a deepening connection with God and with one another. Together, we joyfully encounter, embrace, and embody the transformative love of Jesus wherever his calling leads us. For more information about us, please follow the links in the description.